This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. This is week 27 of 2020. That means we're more than halfway through this year. That's good news to a lot of people. And this week for me has been very busy. I had a plan and my plan went awry. I'll get to that in a little bit. My name's DJ. This is the podcast where we talk about what we do in our theaters. And hey, if you're new, thanks for checking it out. And if you're not new, thanks for listening. Thanks for clicking and taking a chance. Hope you enjoy it. I thought it'd be appropriate to say this is going to be spoiler-free until you hear the popcorn. To any of the new listeners, when you hear the popcorn start popping, that's when I'm going to start talking spoilers. I thought it'd be appropriate to say that right out of the chute today, seeing this movie just dropped today. And that's part of the story on how my week went awry. And we'll get to that. Like I said, we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, a comment from Adriano the Nerd on Twitter. Adriano tweets 87, commenting on Jaws 4K that came out last week. My podcast, that is. Adriano says, "This was my son's first movie, as in during all the commotion of childbirth, no one remembered to turn off the TV in the delivery room. So it's become a bit of an annual tradition that I watch it around his birthday. Not with him just yet, but I look forward to doing so one day." That's a great story. That's a great memory. When my son was born, I remember Seinfeld being on in the background, but not during the actual delivery. This one, my son took a real long time and they had Seinfeld on in the background and I was able to at least catch a glimpse of that to keep me busy. While I waited and waited for hours and hours, you know, it was stressful on me. But for Adriano, that is pretty cool, having Jaws playing in the background. I was just wondering if as your son was being born, was the score playing like, "Bennett, Nanit, 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 it's a boy." No. So let's move along after that. That was horrible. Last week, I mentioned that John M. had emailed me and told me about, I'm calling it, Qello, Q-E-L-L-O. It's the streaming service for concerts and music, mostly concerts, and there's documentaries as well. Well, I tried it out, and it's a huge hit in my house. We've spent hours going through this. My wife has gone through it on her own up on the regular TV, just watching different songs and concerts, and it's just a lot of fun. But as far as this podcast goes, as far as home theater and in my theater, this thing kicks butt. I introduced this to my wife with a Volbeat concert. I had her come down and watch a few songs, and she had her fists in the air, and she's pumping her fists, and it is so much fun. The Volbeat concert that we watched, it was like the camera was panning across the top of the audience, so you felt like you were in the audience. And the way the sounds move, Volbeat's type of music, it's not really conducive to localizing, and I'll get to that in a second. But it, I mean, just the bass coming at you and the sounds, it was like you're at a concert. And my wife's like, "I need to, and you need to turn it down. I'm going to get a headache." I go, "Yeah." And meanwhile, we're leaning into each other to talk in each other's ears because I've got this thing cranked. I probably had it at about 5 above reference level just to get that concert feel. And it was, she's like, "I'm going to get a headache." I'm like, "Yeah, like a real concert." She's like, "I'm going to have to get earplugs if we're going to do this." I was like, "We should invite the neighbors over and we can pretend we're at a concert because you can't go to a concert right now." But some other songs that I listened to. So I listened to Springsteen 1975. I can't remember where it was, but it's a 1975 concert. It was in England. And 10th Avenue Freeze Out. First off, I recommend you checking this out. If you have a home theater and you like any kind of music, check this out. it's free for a week. And then if you have Amazon Prime, you can get it for $7.99 or it's $11.99 a month. You know what, but there's different deals, but at least try it for a week. If you blow through all the content in the first week, it doesn't cost you anything, but I definitely recommend checking this out. And like I said, and if you do go and, you know, even if you don't like Springsteen, go and grab as an example, this song, 10th Avenue Freeze Out. It's like the second song in the 1975 concert, Hammersmith. I think it's called Hammersmith. Forgive me, all you people from England, that if I'm screwing up the name. But on 10th Avenue Freeze Out, the way the stage is laid out, it plays perfectly in your theater. You can hear Little Steven's guitar over on the right. You can hear the pianos over on the right. You can hear the horns, especially Clarence's sax, over on the left. And when he comes in on the left-hand side, even though he's going to be locked on your screen, on the lyrics are, and when Big Man joins the band and then he starts playing, they're fairly centered on the screen, but they keep the stage locked and it just sounds awesome. It's like you're at the concert center stage and you can hear everything where they're supposed to be, and the bass, whether it's the bass guitar or the bass drum or just the drums, you're feeling it. It just, it's a lot of fun to experience. And especially right now when we can't get out and enjoy these things, and it gives you a little bit of that sense, especially in some of these concerts where there's big crowds. I watched a Miley Cyrus concert, jumped around on some songs. One of my favorite songs from her is Wrecking Ball. Watching that, and it sounded so good. She does such a great job, and she wears this like little leotard thing. And my daughter and I watched this concert and I said, watch this and you get such an appreciation for how good Miley Cyrus is. And then I put on an Avril Lavigne concert and Skater Boy. If you go back and forth between those two, you can see like Miley is locked in. She is banging out this song. You can, the emotion that she's showing, everything, and the stage presence and the way they presented it and everything for the video came out awesome. Avril Lavigne looks like she's lip syncing. She looks like she's like, it's like the last show of like a 4-year tour and she just wants this song to be over compared to Miley. I mean, Avril looks great, but when you compare it to the passion that Miley had, it's such a stark contrast. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun jumping through and experiencing all the different shows. And in the middle of all of this, I get a comment question really from Adriano asking me about Springsteen. And he told me his favorite song was American Land. And I jumped to American Land. I can't remember which one. Oh, that one was in Dublin. In, of all places, Springsteen's playing an immigrant song in Dublin, Ireland. And I'm like, It's not with the E Street Band, but it's amazing sounds. Very similar to 10th Avenue Freeze Out, the way the stage lays out. But that sounds incredible. Incredible in the theater. So getting to Adriano's question is, so he tweeted at me, you have a favorite Springsteen song? Mine is American Land. I got the chance to see him in concert when he was in Sydney a couple of years back, instantly became a big fan of his, and that concert was hands down one of the best I'd ever seen. Sorry, best I'd ever been to. Such an amazing performer. And my reply was, there are too many to list for me. Out in the Streets, I played over and over when I was a kid. Badlands has a pretty special meaning to me, but I mean, Thunder Road, the entire Born to Run album is a story unto itself, that that is amazing to me. But yes, Springsteen is an amazing performer, and I have a great intro to Bruce story. I'll try to be really quick with it. This is back in, I think it was 1992. He was, it was like the Human Touch tour when he did those two albums together. He wasn't with the E Street Band. I had never seen Springsteen yet. And I was lucky to get four tickets. It was me, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, my best friend who loved Springsteen along with me, and I had one extra, so I took my brother. He wasn't a Springsteen fan, but I was like, you have to see him live, because that was the reputation. I had never seen him live, but I knew the reputation. I'd heard the live albums. I loved Springsteen. So anyways, we're at the Worcester Centrum, and the best I could get were these seats that were up behind the stage to the left of the rear of the stage. And he played Trapped that night, and they bring the lights down, and he stood center stage, and there was no sound in the room, and he just stood there with a spotlight on him, and he didn't move for what was like 2 minutes, which is a long time, and everybody's just going nuts. And then after about 2 minutes, he slowly started to move his head to the left, like looking to the left side of the room. And this is where, this goes on for 20 minutes. This is how I'll speed this up for you. Well, he very gradually looks to the left, so the left side of the room starts to cheer. And then very gradually, he goes back to the right, so the right starts to cheer. Again, this took a long time, like 5 to 10 minutes of him doing this back and forth, back and forth. And every time back and forth, he increased the pace. And then he worked it up to this really fast pace of like the left side would cheer, the right side would cheer, the left side would cheer, the right side would cheer, and back, 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 back. And like I said, we were on the left behind the stage. So we were cheering with the left side of the room. This took so long. Most people, we were all sitting down, but everybody was cheering and screaming. And like I said, he had a spotlight on him. The band wasn't there. He just did this while everybody took a break. When they come back, they're ready. And now they're going as the tempo of his head movement changed. The band started playing with it. And it's like, boom, 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 boom. And then, so they join in. And then right when you get to this steady pace and you think you can't keep it anymore, he jumps up and like midair spread eagle, but he spins around and he points to the back of the room to us. All of the lights come on. The place explodes. And my brother flies out of his seat with two fists in the air. And me and my buddy look at him and go, he's in. And he's been a huge Springsteen fan ever since. And he is an amazing performer. And it was just, and I've seen him more times than I can count. And yeah, some shows are better than others, but they're all awesome. I have a blast when I see him. And now, thanks to Kello, I can see him whenever I want. So moving on and into the theater, this is where my week went kind of sideways. My intention this week was to do Braveheart in 4K. Very excited to do that. It's 3 hours long and I'm very busy, so I didn't really have time. I was like, you know what? I have Navy SEALs. I was listening to Joe Rogan and he had a Navy SEAL on. This was probably a week or so ago. I heard it. And he said that he really liked Navy SEALs. So I was like, you know what? I really liked that when it came out in 1990. So I'm like, I'll do that. So I literally thought of that on the fly. I'm like, it'll help my week be a little quicker. Let's do that. Well, that's not a home theater movie. So that's my rating for Navy SEALs. While I like the movie and I really enjoyed said movie, It's a Blu-ray that I can't really get into and go through scene by scene with you guys, because I really didn't think there were a ton of scenes for me to go, hey, check this one out and pause your movie here. It didn't resonate like that. I still enjoyed it. And, you know, it's not the best movie in the world, no doubt about it, but I had fun with it, but it's not something that I could talk about. So I was like, what do I do? And then I looked at the weather, and the weather said it was going to rain today, today being Friday. Greyhound comes out today. I've been looking forward to that. So that's where we end up. And in the meantime, I see an article about Tom Hanks saying that he wishes Greyhound had the opportunity to play in the theater. He was saying it was a shame that because this movie needs to play in a theater. And I'm like, whew, make notes of this article because I'm going to mention that on Friday. Shortly after that, I see a tweet from Steve George, and he was retweeting pretty much the same article, different website that was posting it. And Steve's Twitter handle is at LegalBeagleOK. And Steve says, there's a difference in picture and sound quality. You're damn right. My home cinema is better. Because that's what Tom Hanks was saying. He's like, people are just going to see this at home and they're not going to get the same picture and sound that you can get at a theater. And that's, I replied right back to him. I said, ha, I had already saved the article to comment on this week's podcast. Spoiler, I agree with you. And then Steve replied back, it's understandable that for the majority, Hanks might feel they'll lose something. But for us lucky few, it's a real gift to get a big budget film in our home cinemas before it hits theaters. And it is. This is unprecedented times where we're getting movies and we, home theater fans, people with actual theaters, are getting an opportunity to experience something that nobody else can experience. You cannot see this in the theaters. So guess what? We get to. And I agree with Steve in that our theaters are better. I've said that before on the podcast that I think my experience in my theater is better than going to the theater. But there is something for the ambience of being in a theater with a crowd of people on opening night, and we've had that discussion. But I have to say, I do agree with Tom Hanks in that it is a shame that the majority of people won't be able to see this the way it's meant to be seen. So how's that for a segue? Look at that. Why don't I play the trailer and then I'll talk all about my experience seeing Greyhound the way it was meant to be seen.
Congratulations on your first command, at last.
I'll always be looking for you, Evie. Even if I'm 1,000 miles away.
Air escort to Greyhound. You will now be out of range of air cover for the next 5 days. How many crossings does this make?
This is my first.
I got some.
Most likely a U-boat.
He's trying to slip under us! Fire!
We have a kill.
Distress rocket, sir.
We have hits directly on the convoy.
A wolf bag's hunting us.
U-boat, starboard bound!
We've lost 7 ships and 50 souls.
What you did yesterday? Gotta stick the day.
It's not enough.
Fire is my man!
Targets disappeared, sir.
Here they come.
What are we gonna do?
We'll bring hell down from on high.
So the first thing you'll notice after the trailer, if you've seen the movie, is there's some slight editing tweaks to things that go on in the trailer that are different in the movie. And that's pretty cool. I like how they do that, a little misdirection in a trailer. Makes it kind of fun in a movie because if you remember in the trailer, you're like, well, this hasn't happened yet or whatever. You know, lots of movies do that. You know, the MCU's famous for that. They actually put stuff in the trailer that never shows up. But we'll talk spoiler-free for a little bit here about the movie, and I'll say I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun in the theater. It's a difficult movie. It's not a very cheery movie throughout. very dark tones, cloudy, overcast. I will say I found an interesting comparison to 1917 in this movie. I'm not saying this movie's as good as 1917. There's a lot of stuff in 1917 that they did in the making of the movie and stuff to make that movie very interesting. This is a little different, but I'll talk about it in spoilers, my slight comparison. But this movie's in 4K. Apple TV Plus is putting it out in 4K, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. I really want to get this movie on a 4K disc. I thought for streaming, I thought the picture was really nice. The blacks were deep when needed. There were times where it looked a little washed out, but that's, I think, the fog of war effect that plays throughout this movie. I thought the color was vibrant, and I thought it was great, and it played to the movie. They used the colors to pop at the right times, and of course I'll explain as we get into spoilers. And I thought the detail was really, really nice, considering it's streaming. I know it's 4K, it's streaming, but I think this movie is really going to shine on a 4K disc. I felt it was pretty cinematic. It looked nice. It gave me that great sense that like Tom Hanks was saying, he wishes people could experience some of the details. There's ice buildup on the ship. These aren't really spoilers. It's a ship in the North Atlantic. Facial features you could see. I mean, things just really looked really nice. The CGI was a little CGI-ish at times, but I found it forgivable. I didn't think it was that bad. I don't think it's anything close to like what Midway was, and I really enjoyed that one. But this one here, there's a couple of scenes that off the top of my head I can think of where I was like, well, that was kind of a little hokey, but I still, like I said, I really enjoyed this movie. And the sound was really good. It wasn't great. And this is why I think if it was on a 4K disc, I think this movie could really pop. This movie needs to be listened to at reference level. There are a ton of ambient sounds of ships creaking, of waves crashing in the background. There's a bunch of stuff that really gets you into the ship, inside this environment. And then when the big sounds do happen, it really helps it really explode in your theater. So I really enjoyed it. I just thought that there could have been more punch in some of the bass. I thought the detail wasn't lacking, but the punch was. And there was still some good punch here. So I could imagine that on a 4K Atmos track, or if we got like a DTS X track, that would really pop because, you know, that's what DTS does. But I would say that if you just watch this from beginning to end, you'd be like, oh, well, that was good. It flows. The sound flows. There's some quieter sounds and then we ramp up to a big scene and back and forth. And my first viewing of this, yeah, I've seen it twice already and it came out this morning. It's only an hour and a half long, so it enables you to do that. My first viewing of it, that was my overall take. But after going through it a second time, I found myself going, oh, here comes that good scene. And that's how I made my notes for what I'm about to, when we get into spoilers. So yeah, good picture, good sound. I need a 4K disc. So the popcorn's popping. That means we're going to spoilers. I'm going to start talking about the movie in better detail. So if you don't want it to end, because I didn't know the end of this movie and it was a blast to watch. So if you don't want to know the ending, pause here, go watch the movie, come back, and here we go. First things first, I loved the ending, but we'll get to that. But I loved the ending to this, and that gets into the 1917 comparison. But all of these timestamps are, of course, Apple TV time because, you know, I don't know. Maybe if you get it at a different time, it has a different commercial at the beginning because I had a commercial at the beginning of mine. What if they put, I don't know, do they change it in different regions? I have no idea. So I thought I would put a disclaimer. So I'll try to do a decent job describing what's going on. So anyways, here we go. At 2 minutes and 30 seconds, we have the opening of the movie. We come in from the sky. It looks really, really nice as you come down through the clouds and into, you know, you see the backdrop of the ocean. The score sounds really nice here. You get some really nice bass out of the drums in the score. You had the plane flying on the left side of your room as you approached the ships. But as you come through the clouds, it had a nice 3D effect. It was a nice opening to the movie, and it got me into it. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. This is pretty good. And then you get the real opening at 3 minutes and 45 seconds. You have the ominous thunder overhead. Great use of overheads here. Nice bass there as the thunder rolls through the room. And then as the Greyhound is approaching from left to right, you have the waves and the sea mist on one side of the, on the right side of the room. The Greyhound approaches on the left and the waves are crashing against the side of it. The bass is really nice here. I thought the picture looked awesome as like the Greyhound goes by and you see the waves and the water crashing over the bow, all over the deck. My immediate thought was, if you're standing there, you're washed out to sea. It was just a great way to immerse you in this. What, you know, the next hour and a half, you're going to be on this ship. And it was great introduction to the Greyhound. And then from there, we go right inside the ship to Captain Krause's quarters, Tom Hanks, main character. He's pretty much the entire movie. And this movie is taking place during a very overcast, the entire movie takes place in overcast, stormy times, water, rain. Surprised it wasn't snowing. But we go into Captain Krause's quarters and the white light coming through the portals. You know, it's cloudy outside, so it's just strict white light coming through those portals, lighting his room, just setting a dreary, dreary tone. But then from there, we do like a 3 month or a few month flashback to Tom Hanks and Elizabeth Shue in like a hotel lobby meeting at Christmas time. They exchange gifts. He gives her an ornament. She gives him some slippers. They have their little conversation, but the colors in here are just popping. It's beautiful Christmas time. You have the green tree. You have ornaments going on. It's just very warm light, very nice, well-lit scene. Stark contrast to what we just saw on the ocean. But what I noticed the second time through, during this scene, there's a piano playing in the background. And, it, you know, like any hotel lobby or something, you know, fancy hotel, they'll have a pianist just playing for some nice sound. And they're having their Tom Hanks and Elizabeth Shue are having their conversation, and Tom Hanks is talking about his orders and that he's going to see action. But before that, he has some training to do. So in his dialogue, he says, yeah, I'll be in, you know, the Caribbean, Jamaica, Bahamas, Cuba. He makes a joke about rum and cokes or something. And then right after that, he says, then active duty. What's interesting here is at 6:20, pay attention to the piano in conjunction with his dialogue, because as he's saying Caribbean, Jamaica, Bahamas, blah, 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 you know, the piano's just playing. And it's very subtle because it's just background piano music. But then when he says, then active duty, the piano, the background pianist just goes, dum. It's pretty cool because it's like very ominous, but it's very subtle, and it's not part of the score. It's supposed to be like just ambient sound in the room, but he's like, yeah, I'll be in the Caribbean here. It's very light and happy. And then he goes, then active duty. And you just hear, ba-da-loom. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool. And it, like I said, it was very subtle. I brought my wife down to listen to it, and she's like, nobody will really notice that. And I'm like, I know. That's what's so cool about it. Let's jump to 9:40. This is where the captain gets requested, and this is one of those ones that it always gets me. I love it. Little use of a loudspeaker on the right side of the room, and I love when that happens and then the people on the screen look to the right side of your room and even you in the room looks to the right side of the room because you hear it over there. It was pretty cool. It was, you know, they requested the captain somewhere and it just came in on the right side of the room. I thought that was pretty cool. If you start a little earlier, there's some great ambient sounds here. It's actually, you don't have to start early. It's throughout this movie. The ambient sounds are tremendous. At 12 minutes and 5 seconds, general quarters, which is battle stations, so alarms are going off, sea spray, just a lot of chaos, lot of interaction in your room, sounds going off. During this scene at 13 minutes and 5 seconds, you have the conversation with Tom Hanks in one room, but his intercom is going to another room, so you're getting, when you're looking at Tom Hanks, you get nice, clear Tom Hanks voice, but then when they go to the room where the loudspeaker is for his voice, your room fills with that loudspeaker Tom Hanks voice. That was really cool, but it jumped back and forth really fast. And the score here is great. The score throughout this movie, I thought, really did a great job of setting the tension. You could really feel the tension in this scene. And I love the little notes of the whale sounds that they use in this scene and throughout the movie. And once you hear it later on in the movie, all you hear it, you can just hear those whale sounds. I'm not even going to try to impersonate one, but you'll hear those whale sounds incorporated in with the score. It's really, really cool. At 22 minutes and 10 seconds, I think you heard this line in the trailer, "They're trying to slip under us." Great ambient sounds here. A lot of chaos going on as they're getting excited. You know, they're thinking the sub is going to go under them. The score really ramping up again. The drums are really setting the tension. You can almost feel the bass. And this is why I think in a 4K disc, it really will pop. The depth chargers being launched has one sense of bass to it. It's like a different thump as they go. But then as they're going off, there's a different level of bass. Then when they spot the oil slick from the sub that got sunk, the guy that yells it, the sound comes from the like rear right of your room. You'll hear the shout from behind you, which was really cool. So you're centered on Tom Hanks and he has to look back because he hears that they spotted the oil slick. So that was pretty cool. Made me snap my head a little bit. At 28 minutes and 50 seconds, we have a really cool pan of a torpedo. And Tom Hanks says, "Where?" because they're saying torpedo in the water or whatever. And he says, "Where?" And right after he says it, you can hear the torpedo approaching on the left side. And in my theater, I could hear it exactly on the left side of the room, on the upper part of the screen, which I know the sounds aren't really going up there. But I thought this was a great time. It's the first time I saw it like this. I was like, wow, that's really cool how like your eyes are telling you that the sound came from up there. When I know where my speaker is situated, it's about 2 feet under where that sound came from. But same way your center channel works, it's under the screen or above the screen or whatever, but your eyes still tell you that it's coming from their lips, which are in the middle of the screen. But of course, all of this is going on while the score is playing and the ocean sounds, the ambient ocean sounds, which are sometimes not even that subtle, big waves crashing over the side of the ship. It was just really, really cool, and it's what makes this so much fun. At 37 minutes and 20 seconds, they see some distress rockets. There's subtle bass in the distress rockets, but the scene is building and to a great, like, the score really builds up. Then there's, like, really nice gunfire with really tight bass. Like, really tight, like, really nice gunfire here. But then the whole room gets engaged in sound as they scrape alongside a merchant ship. And the scene is pretty long. It actually progresses right to 41 minutes and 10 seconds when they launch depth charges to take out what is a decoy. But when that happens, the bass is really cool there, too. And again, all of this I know will be so much better when it's not streaming, when I can get it directly from the disc, but it's still fun. At 47 minutes and 15 seconds, this scene here is when it's like the halfway part of the movie, almost like an intermission. They say like, here they come. And it's like, there's a lot of great gunfire here. The 4K picture has great contrast with the signal flares floating in the air. The scene is like, basically you're rising up. The camera is rising up out of the ocean, going back up to the clouds. And it's very, very slow pace as it does it. But you're looking at basically the entire ocean battle scene, and you're seeing, you know, fires here and there. You're seeing, you know, signal flares up in the air. But then when they get up above the clouds, you see the Aurora Borealis, which, you know, they're in the North Atlantic. So it's just really, really nice 4K scene, but a really good scene for sound too. Because as I said, it starts with the gunfire, but then the score and then more of those whale sounds that I was talking about. It just, I really liked how that scene progressed. It was really interesting to me. And it's like looking at the timestamp now, I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's almost like it's an intermission. And then at 49 minutes even, it's just so bright. It's such a contrast. It's a flashback to that Christmas meeting. And it's, you know, the cold light of war contrasted to the warm light of peaceful times. And it was just right in the middle. And that's why they did the intermission right in the middle of the movie here. You're brought back to something warm. And that's going to emphasize what it's like out in the ocean in this cold environment. I thought it was a pretty cool piece of filmmaking myself. But then back to the war at 53 minutes and 40 seconds, we see a U-boat up close. Great, great sounds in this scene. Of course, the score, lots of gunplay. Dialogue was crystal clear, splashing water all around the room, ricochets all around the room. Just a chaotic, fun home theater scene. And again, I can't wait to get this on a 4K disc. At 55 minutes and 40 seconds, the Greyhound gets hit. This was probably the punchiest piece of bass in this whole movie. I actually felt it, and I can imagine on a disc, you're really going to feel this punch in your chest, because if I could feel it here, and it's, like I said, I strictly watch these at reference level. I don't punch it any extra. I don't goose the bass or anything, because I want to find out. I want to experience it as it's played. If you want to do all that, maybe you could get closer to what a 4K disc would be like. But yeah, I could actually feel the bass here. Tom Hanks gets rocked. You could feel it in your room. I really enjoyed this scene, and it, you know, of course, made me want for that disc. This next scene is a pretty somber scene. At 58 minutes and 20 seconds, it's the funeral scene. And the reason I made a note of this is the clarity. This scene was crystal clear picture and had unbelievable contrast. Like the darks in this scene were so deep and they were so sharp against the brighter parts of the picture. And the red in the American flags just popped. And it was at this point of the movie, you notice that how monochromatic this movie was or is when they're at war. And this is gets into a little bit of the contrast, or the comparison, I should say, to 1917, in that during the wartime, it was very cloudy and monochromatic. Just like if you go out into a storm, there's not a lot of bright colors. So it appears very monochromatic. Well, this one scene, they're still at war. It's still cloudy. But the way they shot this scene, it just really jumped off the screen to me. And the depth of that red in those American flags. And of course, the red in an American flag signifying the blood lost for our country, I thought was very poignant, of course, in this scene where they're laying to rest three of their fellow sailors. And I'm actually going to label this as a reference scene, because I really think it is the way they shot it. This couldn't have been an accident. And I would put the stipulation that if you're going to show this as a reference scene, when I bring people into my theater, I'm going to show them this scene. I'm going to say, look at this scene of the movie, and just jump around and show them all these different scenes of the wartime, and then just pop right to the scene. And you're going to see how that really pops off the screen. It's a great way to show off a 4K picture, I think. I've done it many times today. I thought it was great. It's such a good scene for picture quality. And this is through streaming. Again, imagine what it'll look like on a disc. It was very poignant, and it's a very powerful scene in the movie as well. Then at 109 and 50 seconds, we have torpedoes, plural. This is the Greyhound trying to avoid multiple torpedoes, and the scene starts with a bunch of guns being fired. I mean, you have guns going off around the room. The score, of course, ramping up yet again. But the sounds of the ship turning, trying to avoid these torpedoes, and the creaking around the room. This is why one of those scenes where I say, if you're not listening to it at reference level, maybe you lose some of that, and some of the louder scenes are going to hide some of the softer scenes if you turn the decibels down. And then the metallic clank of the torpedo bouncing off the hull. I thought it was very, very clear, but very well done. At 1 hour and 12 minutes and 50 seconds, fire as they bear. It's like they just open up, start firing. The score is filling the room. The guns are across the front of the stage. It's just, I mean, just chaos of sound. Nice explosions going off. Just a great, great scene of, you know, I mean, if you close your eyes and listen to this, it's crazy. And this is the part of the movie where they just get air support back. You see the plane coming in, and Captain Krause, Tom Hanks, yells, open fire for that aircraft, which I think is so cool because obviously not having ever been in a naval battle, but he's saying like fire at the water so that the aircraft knows where that submarine is. So they're leading the aircraft with the guns, creating a trail on the water for the aircraft to follow. That was really cool. And then at 1 hour, 14 minutes and 15 seconds, you have the aircraft dropping its bombs, torpedoes, whatever, and you see them hit the water, and the first two hit in front of the submarine. But if you listen closely, the second two to hit the water, they hit right over the submarine, and they actually put in a clanking sound of the ones that actually hit. So I could hear the first two hit, you hear splashes, and the second two you hear a splash and a clank. And then, of course, you get the big explosion of the sub going up, and this is pretty much the end of the movie. The Greyhound has made it to safety. I love the idea of this story. And this final scene that I'll talk about, I thought this is where it wraps up like 1917. At 1 hour, 21 minutes and 30 seconds, you have Captain Krause back in his quarters. And throughout this movie, they've been telling you he's not eating. He's basically just drinking, living off of coffee. It has been 5 days since he's been back at his quarters, and he's just been engaged. He did not want to take a break until his ship and his men were safe. And again, at 1 hour, 21 minutes and 30 seconds, he's safe. His ship is safe. His men are safe. He's back in his quarters. And there you have the warm light coming in through the portholes, compared to that cold white light at the beginning of the movie. And he just lays down on his bed and goes to sleep as his ship turns the 8 degrees towards Londonderry. And that to me was so powerful. It was so much like 1917 when that movie ended and he sat down at the tree and felt the warm light on his face. By the end of this movie, you realize everything he's gone through, and it's not one big thing. It's all of the little things throughout this movie that make this movie so great to me. It's not the best action movie, but it's not the best story. But I think it's the detail on the war, on this event of this ship. And whether this is true or not, it really, I felt, gave a great sense of what it was like, and the decisions being made during the chaos of war. I could go on and on about the actual meaning of this movie, but that's not what this podcast is about. This is about the home theater experience, and I had a blast with it. I had a blast in my theater. I'm going to watch it again with my son. It's only an hour and a half long, but of course, you already know that, because if you're listening to me right now, we're into spoilers. So let me know what you thought of it. You can let me know on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And yeah, let me know what you thought of this. Let me know any questions, comments. Appreciate all of the comments and questions I've been getting. It's taken my home theater experience up another level. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you are, please let me know. Rate, review, and subscribe on your whatever platform you're listening on. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. I will be back next Friday. Now go push play. Hey, Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.